HB 3557 was another big bill this session. It creates a criminal offense for a person who impedes a pipeline operation or construction of a pipeline. This was a big priority for the pipeline industry. It's intended to discourage the types of protests that we're seeing against other big pipeline projects like the Dakota Access and the Keystone pipelines. Statute not only targets an individual who is involved in a protest, it's also involves any organization that either pays someone to participate in this kind of protest or assists with the organization of a protest can also be liable for up to $500,000 and any damages that arise from the criminal conduct. And the person is can receive up to 20 years in prison. So it's a significant significant penalty there, some high stakes. It's not been a whole lot going on in as far as rulemakings at the Railroad Commission. They're currently doing some alignment rules with some new federal standards and increasing permit fees pursuant to some legislation. Not a whole lot of big news there. We've had a lot more going on at the PUC, which we'll talk about after Jessica tells us about some cases.
Thanks. So if you were here last year, I talked about this case as well and left you all with a cliffhanger that it got remanded back to the administrative law judge. And so they tell me to do that so that I'll ensure you all come back. And so the cliffhanger is, or the answer is, they settled it. So there you go. So as short background, July 1st, 2015, West Texas LPG pipeline began charging increased rates for the intrastate transport of Y-grade NGLs. And basically sort of just like amassed a bunch of different pipelines, put them all under one tariff. A bunch of the shippers challenged this rate increase of West Texas in August of 2015, went through hearing, worked its way up. The Railroad Commission took it under advisement, and they remanded it back to take additional evidence whether there is a market to set market-based rates for a common carrier as opposed to a cost of service rate. And so they, as I said, they've settled the complaints. They've agreed to rates that are effective at particular origin points and over a particular time period. And the Railroad Commission approved these settled rates, saying that arm's length transactions between willing participants are market rates and considered them reasonable. And so in November of 2018, these contract rates went into effect. So for court cases, Anadarko was in a joint venture with BP for the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. And so as a result, they were part of numerous sort of litigation and incurred a lot of expenses in defending themselves. And so prior to Deepwater Horizon, they had purchased an energy package insurance policy through Lloyd's London Market for $150 million in coverage. And the insurance company wasn't obligated to defend them, but had to reimburse them for defense expenses. And so Anadarko went to their insurance company and said, we'd like our $150 million reimbursement. And the insurance company said, well, we have a joint venture ownership endorsement, which limits your coverage to the ownership percentage interest you have in the joint venture. So that was 20%. 25%. So we only owe you $37.5 million. So this case worked its way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court does a robust analysis of the joint venture provision in the insurance contract, and they determine that you have to give the plain meaning to the word liability and whether liability includes defense expenses. But you not only have to look at the plain meaning, you also have to look at the context of the contract itself. And so the full contract itself treats liabilities and expenses differently. And so that justifies that title policy endorsement capping under joint ventures for liabilities as not applying to defense expenses. And so they were able to recover their $150 million up to what their policy was for.